Truth Radio, WTGF 90.5, Milton, Pensacola.
The views and beliefs in the following program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.
And welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Also coming to you live around the world via our app and
Facebook.
That's right.
We appreciate those of you who join us on Facebook. Thank you so very much. And good to have you on board today. We are going to be talking about a very important subject. We had a caller last week. I was out of town. John was here minding the fort. And
mining the fort.
I was down in DeLand in a mission conference, and we had a good time down there. We had some technical difficulties, which is seemingly happens just about every time I go on the road.
Well, see, okay. See, I'm not there with you.
We are trying to get this worked out, though. We've been here this morning a couple of hours working on getting set up today and trying to get Facebook working properly so that those of you who want to join us on Facebook can also hear the callers. That's where our problem has been. We think we have found out the problem. We've got to check some more technical experts on this matter. Our technical guru, Cody Stinson, who is, I think, presently up in Ohio and working in fixing
Conneaut.
Conneaut, Ohio.
Conneaut, Ohio.
Ohio. Oh. Checking out, and he's working on a radio station, right?
Yes, he is.
Doing some ministry there. And so anyway, we're going to check with him to make sure if our thinking is right, what we're missing, and trying to get it fixed where hopefully we've got it to where you can hear the callers today if you've joined us on Facebook. And but anyway, we're going to be talking about eternal life today. Had a caller last week who wanted to discuss the matter of salvation and keeping it. That you, his idea, if he calls in today, I hope he will, so that we can kind of get. I don't want to just be giving you what I think his idea is. I want him to give you his idea, and then we'll discuss the matter from a scriptural standpoint. We want to do everything that we do on here. We want to have it, at least if we hold to a particular doctrine, we want to have a Bible basis for it. I believe that everybody ought to have not just a verse or two, but ought to have a Bible base for what they believe.
Just select quotes here and there.
Yeah.
That you want to make it.
Yeah, and there's so much practice today. I mean, there's a lot of people that have a tendency not to maintain textual integrity or contextual integrity. People have a tendency to want to take Scripture to pull it out of its context and make it say what they want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just doesn't work. I mean, you may make it work for you in a present situation, but in eternity, people are going to be awful surprised when they get to heaven or if they don't go and find out that they misinterpreted the Word of God. They've based, they have a wrong basis. You can be at sea, and of course that's my background. Years gone by, but you can be at sea. And your compass can say one thing, but it can be off. For instance, you could have a battery or a magnet. Mm-hmm. If you've got a magnetic compass and then you bring another magnet or something that's magnetic along beside that compass, it can pull it off. And you may not even know it. And so, and that could be disastrous at sea. When you think you're going in one direction, you think you've got a dead reckoning, or you think you're going headed in the right direction, and you're actually not. And I'm afraid that happens a lot spiritually these days. And so we want to try to pull together a verse, the Word of God, on what this matter of eternal life is and salvation. And in a moment or two, we'll look at some things regarding that, what exactly salvation is. I think we need to understand what it is in order to understand some of the doctrinal issues facing it. Well, let's discuss politics a little bit, John. We've had some, some really stirring in the land, I do believe.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. Just to see everything, yeah. How it's just unfolded.
Yeah. It has been 2 days after within 2 days after President-elect Trump was selected, then things were already changing.
Mm-hmm.
Things were, just immediately, overnight, And it's pretty amazing to me. This is kind of a, I wouldn't say this is just a regular election of any by any stretch of the imagination. I think this more than a regular election, this is a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to see more things fall into place in regards to this being what it truly is, not just a regular election. So
yeah, it's definitely a different feeling this time than compared to 8 years ago or the previous eight. It's just a different feeling because our country was going in one direction and we said, nope, stop right there.
Yeah.
Let's go back this way.
Yeah. And
I mean, that's a clear mandate from the people. I mean,
yeah, without
you
question.
Can't, you know,
and here's the thing. People are talking about the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying the other side, the losing side, says that, well, we need to do away with it because Hillary Clinton got the popular vote.
Well, if you understand the Electoral College, that's where big cities can't dominate our election.
Yes.
The guys were smart when they wrote the Constitution
because they
thought about all this.
Yes. And I've heard so many Christians say, well, maybe we, you know, in fact, family members even said recently, well, we need to do away with the Electoral College. Well, it's because we don't understand. And I maybe even said that in the past myself,
mm-hmm.
because of a lack of understanding of why we have an Electoral College. And primarily, that is what you just said, is absolutely the reason, because if it weren't that way, if it was strictly the popular vote, rural America would be left out in the cold.
That's right.
And that's where most of your fundamental beliefs are, most of your conservative beliefs, not all, but a considerable part of your conservative beliefs are in the rural areas.
But the numbers that they come up with, we can maybe tweak that, but still... it's on the History Channel. You can see, I mean, they do a great, it's lots of pictures and telling you everything and why they did it.
Yeah. Well, that's tremendous. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to look at that myself. I need
it. It is very educational.
By myself, yeah.
And it makes sense.
It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, boy, and people responding out of ignorance, you think that. It's got to be right. Why the popular vote? And I've heard this for years.
Right.
I've heard good people saying, why do they have Electoral College anyway? And it's usually when you're on the losing side.
You know? Right. Right. Exactly.
When we want to do, everybody wants to do it with Electoral College.
Bush v. Gore, you know.
Yeah,
all that
exactly. at any rate, the Electoral College, and I think we need to make, you know, this needs to be clearly understood. In fact, it would do us well. It would do Christians well to step back up to the plate as mm-hmm. far as the political process. You know, we have, through negligence, through laziness, through indifference, you know, through, say, wrongly thinking that our one vote doesn't matter, or our mm-hmm. participation has little effect, all of those kind of negative, foolish ideas is one of the primary reasons the country's gotten in the shape it has now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken a drastic turn now with President-elect Trump. And we're going to see some – again, this is just – to me, this is amazing. I think everybody's pretty amazed. Both sides of the issue here today are pretty amazed at what's
just
going
listening
on.
To CNN and Fox, you know, right after the election, they're just stunned.
Yeah.
They're like – what happened?
Yeah.
No, the American people spoke.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
See,
exactly.
Sometimes the national media can get on this big kick of this is how we're going to spin it.
Yeah.
But locally, us here at the radio station going, yeah, okay, y'all don't see it the same way we do in our eyes.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting to watch all that.
Exactly. Yeah, and the way this thing all worked out and again, I wasn't for Trump in the primary, you know, and it's interesting. That's another interesting factor. I'm wondering how they're going to work this deal of him putting Lion Ted in his.
Oh boy!
You know, I think it was yesterday. He was meeting with Trump. And of course, you know, Trump called him Lion Ted, you know, mm-hmm. more than once, and so now they're negotiating upon him having a position.
They're holding hands and singing Kumbaya. I don't want to see Trump doing that.
Well, I kind of don't think he's going to be doing that.
But the thing is, he didn't answer to special interest.
Yeah.
The money doesn't bother him.
That's right.
He not didn't even need it.
Yeah, not even taking a salary, see?
All right.
And so he's just going to have a lot of clout. And my fear has been since the beginning of this whole process, even in the primary, he's liable to have too much clout. For the first time, I think for the first time in the history of our country, it could be that he's going to be, he's going to have more power available to him than any president previous. And
they call it political capital.
Yeah, and that could be dangerous.
Yeah,
you know,
it could be.
It could be dangerous.
But, you know, he's also thinking common sense, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not coming from the political realm.
He seems to be pulling people together from all, you know, and of course we'll see as this thing moves forward, you know, the process of selecting his cabinet and the people that he puts in different places. I think what I'm hearing, like 4,000 jobs that they're going to have to fill in the next couple of months. He's going to have it's going to be interesting to see at the very least. The fact that a lot of Christians are backing him, you know, and the evangelicals, I'll say it that way. His choice of Pence was to me a brilliant stroke, and Pence is a good man. Pence has got a lot of capital as far as the Christian community, you know, especially the evangelical world. So.
But, you know, I remember one of the commentators saying last Tuesday night, this presidential election will be studied for years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many political people are breaking this down with the numbers and the graphs and all this stuff? It's just interesting because it blew their minds.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I think it was Megyn Kelly had this guy on last night that did his I'm forgetting what he did, but he was involved with the technical side of it and all of the checking things out and knowing where they needed to, what direction they needed to go to get to more electoral votes, that type of thing. And, I mean, that was a brilliant stroke. I mean,
it was.
Everything surrounding Donald Trump in this situation is I want to say exceptional. I mean, there's just – I don't know if we can go back and if there's any parallel back in any election that we've seen in the past. It certainly does have its interest.
But then now we get the pleasure of watching it just all unfold.
All unfold, develop. Mm-hmm. And I pray, and I said last week and I say it again, we as Christians need to pray. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for his selection process. And I said we need to pray for his protection.
Our leaders.
We need to pray for wisdom, that he would have wisdom in making right choices that would benefit Christian community as we fulfill our responsibility. And our job is to get the gospel out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to have peace in doing it, getting it in a peaceful environment, being able to spread the gospel, than it is to be under the gun, persecuted, having to live in caves and dens and that sort of thing.
That is true, because that's where it was going.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we were all starting to get to that point.
Well, and when the wicked are ruled, the righteous hide themselves, as the proverb says. So, and now we have some opportunity. We better take advantage of it as believers.
That's right. It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in our conversation, area code 850-994-3747. You can go to issuesofliferadio.com, our WTGF app, or join us on Facebook. We're streaming live there on Facebook Live.
To our thrift stores lately? Hope and Hands Missions operates three stores for your convenience. Our Gulf Breeze store at 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399, our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street across from the Dollar General, and our Pace location at 4666 Highway 90 across from KFC. So stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Hope and Hand Missions thrift stores. Hope and Hand Missions offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses also. So why not see what kind of treasures you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift stores in Gulf Breeze, Milton, and Pace.
They're back, and they're better than ever. Here comes the Crab Family and their 2017 Back to Our Roots Tour.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy.
They're back to all the songs and music that blasted the charts and your hearts. The Back to Our Roots Tour. Friday, January 13th at Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola. 3100 West DeSoto Street. The concert starts at 7:30. The doors open at 6:30. A VIP meet and greet at 5:30. Tickets are available at globalpromo.org. Globalpromo.org. Or by phone at 864-655-3560. That's 864-655-3560. The 2017 Crab Family Back to Our Roots Tour. Friday, January 13th at Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola. The Don't Miss Tour of 2017. The Back to Our Roots Tour with the Crab Family.
This is Kurt Kennedy, Senior Instructor of the Faith Academy of Taekwondo in Milton. Faith Academy is a proud sponsor of WTGF Radio. Faith Academy of Taekwondo is a faith-based, Christ-centered martial arts school where every class is opened and closed with prayer, includes scripture memory, and gospel devotionals. Get fit, learn practical self-defense, and memorize Bible scripture at the same time. For more information on location, class schedules, and enrollment, please contact me, Senior Instructor Kurt Kennedy, at 850-380-9285. That's 850-380-9285.
And welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Thanks for joining us. We want you to join in on the conversation. Area code 850-994-3747. Go to Issues of Life Radio, the WTGF app. You can submit a question, comment, concern there, or even join us on Facebook. We give you multiple ways to get in contact with us.
Yeah, that's right. Or you can even contact us, the Issues of Life Radio. You can send us an email anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways to contact us. So we wish you would just join us today. And as we continue on the program, we're just getting started here. And we're gonna be discussing the matter of eternal life. And again, a caller called in last week. We wanted to stay on the subject of the election last week. We dealt with it pretty thoroughly, so we didn't want to get off of that. We were dealing with we dealt with our mission conference there, and mission we interviewed some missionaries, and then we did talk about some election things as well. So, but we want to get back to that today, and this matter of salvation, and the matter of what salvation really is. You know, the question was asked, or the statement was made by a caller that you have to keep salvation, that you have to maintain it. You know, you could turn away from, and I've heard numerous people make these statements that you can decide to go turn away from God. You know, I've heard people say, well, it's not a matter of keeping the law, but you can not have faith. You can have faith and get saved, then you can deny that faith. Well, I just don't believe that's revealed anywhere in Scripture that I know of. There are some verses that you could probably stretch to make say that. And the Bible's that way on just about everything. You know, there are verses in the Bible that you can twist or take out of context, or that you could make it say what you wanted to say. I mean, if that were not so, then you know then we wouldn't have all these denominations that we have. Mm-hmm. Denominations are basically differences of doctrinal positions. And let me just say it this way, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. It can't be both ways, especially in regards to salvation. You know, it can't be that salvation's eternal or that you can lose it. You know, and that's where a lot of people say. There are some who say that if you're not baptized in their particular brand of religion by their particular brand of ministers, mm-hmm. that you're not saved, that you're not going to heaven. And It's hard for me to understand how somebody could even believe that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yet, well, how, you know, we today, we here in America, if you were raised in our nation, in a Christian nation that we have here, it's hard for us to comprehend how somebody could bow down before a piece of wood or a stone with an ugly face carved in it and call that God. I mean, it's just almost incomprehensible. Yet there are literally millions and millions and millions of people around the world who do that very thing. There are animists. There are idolaters. I mean, there are idolatrous nations. Some of the most idolatrous nations are some of the largest populations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
See, India serves over where they worship more than 4,000 gods. They worship everything, you know, from monkeys to ancestors to dirt to whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they worship everything. And so... And that's just one religion in India, you know. In Pakistan, you got Islam, and of course a religion of hate. And they talk about a religion of peace, but it really isn't. If you read the Quran, anybody who would read the Quran would have to understand that Muhammad was not a peaceful person. He was a violent man. He firmly believed in killing people who would not convert, and did so. Islam had its greatest growth in violent conquering. You say, well, there are parts of Christianity who've done the same. Well, that may be true.
Mm-hmm.
That may be true. You know, you read the history of the church and through the Dark Ages and the wars over the Crusades, that sort of thing. Yes, that happens. That's happened. But true Christianity, true Bible-based Christianity, is a true religion of peace. Probably the only one in the world. Now, that doesn't mean we're peaceful like the Buddhists,
mm-hmm.
who believe that if you step on an ant, you know, or if you have to be in tune with nature and creation and all that sort of thing. No, we're talking reality here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about the God-man who came into the world and gave his life a ransom for all. He died. He paid the price, the sin debt of all mankind. And so that's really what we're discussing here today. We're talking about this matter of salvation. And I want to bring it full circle back around to this the idea that what salvation is. And either it is a religion whereby you must do good things, or you must be baptized, or you must follow a certain doctrinal position, or you must obey the law, or, you know, all of the things that I just listed are pertain to one denomination or religion or another. And so which is it?
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was searching for something, I won't say I was searching for salvation. I don't know that I was searching for God. I know that I was searching for peace. I wanted to know truth. If there was truth anywhere to be found, I wanted that truth. And when I was a young man, when I was in my teens, I left home when I was 16 and went to sea, became a merchant seaman. And while I was at sea, I looked into things. I was very inquisitive, and I searched out other things, you know, other religions. Studied with Buddhists, Hare Krishnas, Hindus. Didn't study with any Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and all of those.
Mm-hmm.
I found one thing. And this is the acid test. This, what I'm about to say, is the acid test in regards to truth and heaven or hell and true religion. There's one religion, and I don't even like calling it a religion, but one and only one, that believes that it's salvation by grace through faith, not of yourselves. Only one, and that's true Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is by grace, if it's truly by the grace of God and not of man, then why? My question would be, why would you have to keep it? You know, why? What is there to keep if it's of God? and not of man, what would we have to keep? And so let's look at salvation for just a moment. I want to give it, just kind of get us started here.
And go ahead.
I want to get us started. You say, do we have a caller or no?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Hang on.
All right, we'll take our caller before I get into it.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. This is the professor calling.
Hello, hey, Professor.
Good afternoon. God bless you all.
You too.
I've been listening over the course of the last month or two or so, and what I keep hearing kind of is the problem with the church today is that we don't understand the gospel properly, and therefore we don't. We aren't authentic Christians if we don't understand the gospel properly, because that is necessary to placing your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. My take on this has been that that's not really the problem with the church. The key problem with the church is that Christians, and especially evangelical Protestant Christians, they don't see a connection between their behavior and their salvation, meaning you can just understand the gospel and just claim that you believe the gospel in your heart, but then that has nothing to do necessarily with having to live the Christian faith. And I'm not talking about obeying the 613 mitzvah of the Old Testament as a Jew would. I'm talking about all the admonitions in the New Testament that you are not saved by faith alone, but you are also justified by what you do.
Where are those admonitions?
They're all scattered throughout. All you have to do is look at the other side of Reformed thinking or Calvinistic thinking, and then you have to harmonize those together.
I don't look at Calvinistic thinking. I mean, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible believing Baptist, not a Calvinist.
Well, I'm Bible believing too, but what I'm saying is there's more to the story. I think what you present, and you're my brother in Christ. I'm not going to act like that lady who called in about abortion and just break you over the coals. And I'm glad you hung up on her twice. I mean that was
she had to call back to hang up on me. So.
Okay, well. Again, I mean, I think the premise of your program is that someone who doesn't agree can call in, and if we're cordial and we act like authentic Christian brothers, we can agree to disagree.
Sure,
bottom line.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, my view of this is that the key problem with Protestants is that they have been taught this, and it's not even McCarthyan easy believism. It's a kind of, as long as you understand the gospel, you know, it's irresistible grace, and you won't want to give it up. You'll just stay with it.
You keep going back to Calvinism, and that is, I state again, that is not my position. I'm not in any way, shape, or form a Calvinist.
Oh, well, no shape or form. Okay. All right.
See, I don't believe, and I was taught, let me back up a little bit. I was taught it in Bible college. I had a professor. Mm-hmm. Now, I went to a school that was not, it did not take a Calvinistic position. Now, I'm neither, but by the same token, I'm not an Arminian. But you see, we have this idea that you only have those two positions,
true. What is your position then? How would you state what's in between or what your position may be?
My position is that you are saved by grace. I'll give some scripture on this throughout the program, but we come to a place of understanding, and I do emphasize understanding, because you have to believe something. It's not a blind leap off of a cliff and trusting God to catch you.
Right.
You know, that's nonsense. It's faith has a foundation. It has a basis. And that basis is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you must understand what you're reading to believe it, correct? I mean, you would agree with that, I think.
Sure.
So once you – now, and I do want to tie it into what your position on our actions. I've never stated that we don't have a responsibility as Christians, as believers. And true believers are led to fulfill the works of righteousness – from within, by the Holy Spirit living within. We are created unto good works. That believers, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when you are saved, when you truly know Christ, he lives within, and he leads us to do those good works in accordance with the Word of God.
Right, but given the fact that we're not Calvinists here, you would also have to understand, or you'd also have to acknowledge that one has a choice as to whether to obey that or not. I can obey my old self, my old man,
absolutely,
and still in sin. I mean, I can still
absolutely
do that. I have to obey God. That is part of the whole salvific enterprise that God is all about. I can, and if I choose to totally turn away from that, God will let me go.
Well, okay, hold on now. Now, see, I think you're taking that further than what the Scripture takes it.
Because I don't think so.
People can turn away. Well, look at Lot.
People do.
Well, look at Lot. Lot was, and he wasn't a Christian. He was under the Old Testament economy, but he was saved according to the Scriptures. He vexed his righteous soul every day, but he didn't do right. So he went into Sodom and he followed he became a leader in Sodom. And so he wasn't doing right, but he was vexed within every day by the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, okay. See, that reveals the nature of one who has truly believed on Christ. And especially in today's economy, or in this dispensation, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption, a person, I could turn away. I mean, I'm not forced. God doesn't force me to serve him. He doesn't force me to live for him. I have a choice still, and I could turn away, and I could go out and do some wicked things. But until the point that God would allow things, circumstances to come into my life to kill me. And then I'll tell you where I'm going when I die. I'm going to heaven, even if I die in that state. And the reason is because Jesus paid my sin debt, period.
Yeah, let me just say something. I think some of that is a lot of platitudes, like when you use the phrase the Word of God. The Word of God has many different meanings. It doesn't strictly mean the New Testament, for example. It also means Jesus himself. So
he's called the Word. That's correct.
Let me back up on this concept of God. Yeah, we are saved by grace. God has provided the means for us to be saved, okay? But that does not mean that we have no responsibility to cooperate with those means, and that there is not a means by which we can also lose that is turn away and reject that, because There are thousands of people who do that, consider themselves authentic Christians, who are baptized in Baptist churches, who understand the gospel clearly, or who did, and who no longer believe that.
All right, when you say understand the gospel, explain to me what that means to you.
That means that Jesus Christ died on the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in the Godhead, died on a cross, a death to atone for my sins, made the means available for me to be reconciled to God. That means is
okay.
Now
wait. Let me back up. Well, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I asked you to explain your position. Yeah. Go ahead.
That means is available to me. When I understand that, I now am confronted with a choice, and the choice is, I can choose to place my faith, which is a commitment, which is different from belief. I don't have total control of my beliefs, but I do have control of my faith, what I choose to put my faith in. That if I choose to put my faith in my understanding of that, then I, at that point, I am now saved. I am with God. And however, I am also responsible to cooperate with what God is doing in my life. And if I choose at some point to no longer cooperate, regardless of the fact that initially I put my faith in that, if I remove my faith in that and decide I don't want any part of that, which I'm not going to do by the grace of God, hopefully, But if I choose to do that, then God will let me go, and I will not be with God. That's
all
what
right.
I believe.
Okay.
And I believe that's right. biblical and scriptural, too.
Okay, then I'm going to ask you to, and I'm going to give you a couple of verses, and while I'm giving you these verses, I'm going to ask you to give me a verse showing me that. I'd like for you to show me that in the Bible, where that is in the Bible.
I can't because I'm in my car, and I don't
okay.
have my Bible with
all right.
me.
And, okay.
But I would, and it's there.
All right, I'm gonna give you another, you know, we'll return to this. You know, you listen sure. on a regular basis, and maybe the next time you listen, you can be where you can refer to Scripture. Because
sure.
that what you just stated is not found in Scripture.
Oh,
and,
it is.
And here, yes, let me read you a verse now. Let me read you a verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse 19, it says to witness, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Mm-hmm. You see, you said he made reconciliation available for us. This says that he reconciled us to himself.
But
and us being the whole world, everybody is reconciled.
So are you you believe in universal atonement?
I believe that we're all mankind for all time has been reconciled to God. Everybody.
Everybody. So you believe no one's going to be going to hell?
No, absolutely not. No, I don't believe that. You know I don't believe that. You've listened to me enough to know absolutely that
I don't believe that. Based on what you just said, I mean...
I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. You tell me what this means. It says... God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. What does that mean?
That means when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you abide in the vine...
But that's not what that says. No, that's not what that says. Listen to the timing on it. God? When was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself?
You have to acknowledge that you are not the final authority in a hermeneutics. We all have a different way of looking at that.
Listen.
Hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation.
I know what hermeneutics is. John doesn't, but I know what hermeneutics is. And I'm not interpreting this verse. I'm simply asking you what it says.
Every verse has to be interpreted. That's the whole point.
Okay, but can we not start with a literal interpretation? In other words, understanding just simply what it's stating.
You mean the grammatical, historical? You mean the grammar?
What does it say? It says that he was in Christ. When was that? Okay, let's interpret it. Let you and I interpret it together. Okay.
Okay.
What does it say? When was God in Christ?
I don't have my Bible in front of me, so you'll have to.
let me read it. All right, God was in Christ. Now that's the past tense, right? Can we agree to that? That was
so.
Past tense.
I'll agree. Go ahead.
Okay. When was that? When did God become a man? He was born through a virgin womb. He lived a sinless life, and then he died on a cruel Roman cross. We can agree to that, correct?
Yes.
All right. Then it could that be what this is talking about?
It depends. You have to interpret that.
Okay, but is that what it's talking about? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Correct?
Okay.
It's when his virgin birth, sinless life, and sacrificial death is what reconciled the world to God. Correct? I mean, can we agree on that?
Sure.
Okay. Then let's just follow the train of thought here.
Okay.
The
okay.
next phrase says, not imputing their trespasses to them. Who? Who's he talking about? The world, right?
All of humanity. Okay.
Okay, not imputing their trespass unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, and let's look at the next verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, who's we? Would be saved people, right? Okay. People who have come into that understanding and received it. Okay. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, if God reconciled us to himself at the cross, and let me just skip over and read another verse in connection with it. It'll help us to understand it. It says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether there be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. So, it makes it clear that the cross is where man was reconciled to God, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, he says, be ye reconciled to God. So what does that mean? How are we? What else is left if we have to be yet reconciled? What has to take place?
We have to put our faith in Christ.
In what? In you say put our faith in Christ. In what?
Yeah, what we know that Christ did for us.
Which is?
All of that.
Okay, that we are reconciled. That we've already been reconciled. So what one must believe is not that he has to be baptized or join a religious denomination or live a good life or whatever, all the things that religions say, denominations say.
But hold on, Dewey. Hold on a second. That's where we part company, because that's one part of it. But then there are many other dimensions of Scripture that I don't have in front of me, or what pieces of Scripture that also deal with the notion of salvation from the other side.
What other side?
What I perceive, and I have 3 graduate theological seminary degrees, okay? So what I'm doing to some extent is appraising your theological perspective. What I think you do is that...
Well, can I ask you a favor? Can I ask you a favor? Can we leave off the... You know, let's just be men. Forget the theology. I've got 2 doctorates, honorary doctorates.
Okay.
Let's just leave all that stuff on the sideline and just be men and two honest men to sit down
I'm definitely a man.
Look at the scriptures, okay? Can we just do that?
Problem.
All right.
I said we could, all right?
All right.
So what I'm saying is what I perceive you do is you cherry pick a few scriptures that support your theological tradition, which apparently is the only one you know about, but you gloss over all of the other evidence that's out there.
What? I mean, give me something. Give me something.
I can't right now.
All right. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come back on bring some evidence, okay?
I'm not mad at you.
Well, I'm not mad at you, but I'm...
There's a lot of other evidence that shows a fully orbed view of this, and all I'm saying is you're giving you do what I would call you read evangelism into all of your theology in an attempt to make the scripture say something that it doesn't necessarily say.
What you're saying is then that I misinterpreted this verse. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. What I'm saying is that you don't have the full, you don't bring the full picture when you come at it.
All right, help me out. Help me out here. You're a theologian. Help me out on this matter.
I'm just a man.
Okay, well, help me out. Help me to understand this verse. What does it mean that I'm missing here?
It doesn't mean you're missing it. It's just part of it. It's a difference between seeing it partially and in whole. And you said, and by the way, I don't necessarily disagree with you when you say that your approach is to keep it basic, that you guys are all about the basics. And that's great. I mean, the basics are great. All I'm saying is that there's more to the theological orbit that you're presenting.
Okay,
but if I'm right,
let's just suppose for a second that I'm right. Okay. If I'm right, then if you miss this truth, you could miss eternity.
Isn't this the basics?
If what I'm saying is correct, if what I believe is correct, then
I wish you were right, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I am.
Because I don't think you are.
Well, but I can prove that I am. That's the point.
But
see,
you're not the final. I mean, you're not the only interpreter of the Bible out there. You're
okay.
Not the authority on this.
That's,
you have an opinion.
Well, that's
right?
True. But I ask you to sit down, for us two to sit down and look at the verse together intelligently. Let's interpret it together. You know, we're both coming from different perspectives.
Right.
And
right.
All I'm asking is we just be honest with what it says. Let's forget about the theological, all of the you wanting to expand it out to these great and theological interpretations. I'm wanting to accept the simple truth of what it's saying.
But that's what I'm trying to say. You got to look at the whole picture.
Why do I have to do that? Why can't a moderately educated individual come to the Bible and find the interpretation that's a true interpretation for themselves?
Well,
why do they have to have a theology degree to understand the Bible?
For themselves, the point is not whether you get it for yourself or not. The point is to be accurate.
No, well, okay, but that's exactly right. But to be accurate, I'm talking about for a person who doesn't have a theology degree to be able to come to the Bible and find out what it says and believe what it says and have a secure place in heaven as a result.
I don't think you have to be a biblical scholar to be a Christian. I don't think you need to be able to read the Bible to be a Christian.
You have to hear it. Whether you read it or not, whether you read it or listen to it or listen to it preached, you have to be able to hear the Word of God with understanding.
You have to be able to understand it. You have to be able to accept it, receive it, and live it. I mean, that's what brings it all together.
All right, let's come back to this verse. If God do you believe that God, that this verse says that God reconciled the whole world to himself?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Now, reconciliation. Let's define reconciliation. It's somewhat of a theology, but it's a natural term as well. In a natural realm, what is reconciliation? Two parties.
I did my doctoral dissertation on Matthew 18:15-17. The whole nature of the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, it means to bring the whole thing back together again.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
All right. God's part was brought to back. We were reconciled to him at Calvary, right?
Right.
The world. I'm talking about everybody. Who is going to benefit from that?
You've got to back up on that and explain that, because when you say that, what I then conclude is that you're a Unitarian Universalist in your eschatology.
Well, but you're making wrong conclusions based on what you want me to say. That's not so.
What do you mean? It's not what you say, it's what do you mean.
No, it's what it's not what I say, it's what this Bible says.
But
see, I have not left this verse. We're still right here with this verse and what it says.
God is reconciling the world unto himself.
All right.
We got it.
But see, you didn't start out saying that. You started out saying that. No, you started out saying that.
You will not be able to pin me. It ain't going to happen.
I'm not trying to pin you. You started out saying that it was that.
It ain't going to happen.
All right. Listen.
Sharp enough for that to happen.
Listen, I like you, and I like talking with you. I like debating with you, but and here's the thing. Now, this there is nothing more critical to the salvation of an individual than what we're talking about right now, and having it clear and accurate is of the utmost importance in my simple mind.
I couldn't agree more.
And so, if God has reconciled us to Himself, and He, according to this verse, He has, and I think we both agree on that.
Okay.
What then? Our part in that is to believe, to be satisfied with what God did. Would you agree with that?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay, let me read you a passage of scripture that you might be familiar with, Isaiah chapter 53. Okay. That's probably the clearest portion of scripture of Old Testament scripture dealing with this, what we're talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Isaiah 53, it says in verse number 10. That it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, this is looking forward down the annals of history. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. Pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Now, the first part of verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul, of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Now, that whole chapter deals with this one subject of the death of Christ on the cross. Right? Do you agree with that?
Is that what it says?
I read it exactly as it stated in Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 53. Now, there's the first part of the chapter identifies it even more. I didn't read a lot of the verses. I just read 10 and 11.
But that's your perception or your interpretation of what Isaiah 53 is all about, right?
Well, what would it be about? Can you tell me something else it might be about?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that that's the way you conceptualize it. I mean, it says what it says, and then you conceptualize it as
okay,
what
if it
saying,
says right? what it, what if it's do you not agree that that's what it means?
Like, I would say to that is speaking about the fact that yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Okay.
And God is satisfied in the sense that Jesus is a full satisfaction for sin. Sure, I agree with that.
Okay,
but
all right.
I don't know what you're implying. But
I'm not implying anything. I'm not implying anything.
My choice to need to put my faith in that.
No,
I disagree with you because other portions of Scripture would claim something radically different.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to give me those verses now, and I'm going to give you another opportunity because we're about out of time today, but you're going to have to give me those verses because you keep saying this stuff, and it what you're saying is not true because those verses do not exist.
Absolutely, Dewey, it's because you have not looked at other theological traditions, even within the Protestant realm, and you do not understand how they look at some of these issues. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Well, okay.
And it's okay that you don't. I'm not mad at you.
What I'm trying to get you to do is come out of the dusty halls of theology and come down to earth with the rest of us and look at these simple verses just from a simple perspective.
You are doing theology every time you interpret a passage. Do you realize that?
I understand that. I understand that perfectly.
Please.
I understand that perfectly. But I'm trying to get you out of that realm down to earth.
You don't have to get me out of that realm. I have an exquisite biblical theology training. Okay, I understand the difference. You think it's all psychology. It's not. When you read a passage of Scripture, you are engaging in theology. You are engaging in hermeneutics.
I understand that. I do know that. I really do. I do know what the hermeneutics means. It means to interpret the Bible. I understand that.
That's great.
Listen, I want to come back to this now.
Look, man, this is all good stuff. I mean, I'm not going to lose my relationship over disagreements.
That's good.
I'm just trying to tell you that I would encourage you to also step out of the tradition that you use to look at the concept of salvation and make sure that you look at other passages that come at it from a different perspective. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
All right, listen. I have read the Bible through I don't know how many times. I'm going to guess at least 50, probably closer to 100 times in my time of being saved. Okay?
All right.
And so it's not I rely strictly on what the Bible says.
I'm going to explain.
My method of interpretation of hermeneutics is when the Bible makes plain sense to make no other sense out of it. See, to come to it from a literal, I approach the Bible from a literal perspective. And when give me a second now. I'll answer that question. If it's not to be taken literally, it usually is obvious.
It's what?
It's obvious. Yeah, like the
figures of speech.
Figures of speech, right. Typology, things of that nature. It's pretty. Right. Usually, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but see, you're probably a premillennialist, right?
Absolutely.
See, I'm an amillennialist.
Unapologetically.
I'm unapologetically amillennialist because you can't read the book of Revelation with, like, you know, a factual excursus? You can't do that.
Certainly
that's
you
a,
can.
That's a piece of, that is a completely different genre. It's a dream. You know, you can't read it like that. You have to read the Bible intelligently, all the historical, grammatical, literary, and theological tools that are available in order to understand it properly. Otherwise, you're doing nothing but you're presenting a postmodern scientific observational overlay onto something that where you don't understand the nature of what that literally is happening. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. You have to look.
Listen.
You can't just say, what is the Bible saying? You have to understand how you're even looking at a passage and interpreting it.
Well, okay.
You see, people disagree. I mean, that's why there are 22,000 Protestant denominations.
But now,
I mean, come on, that's the whole reason.
But you know, you say you're an amillennialist. Now, you believe that as an amillennialist, you believe that the Christianity is making the world a better place. We're gonna usher in the kingdom one day by living right. We're gonna get the
final battle of Armageddon, and then the second coming and the final judgment will occur all at the same time, and then on to heaven we go. There will not be a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. That you bet. That is a figure of speech that's used over and over in Scripture. And it's used over and over in the history of Semitic literature, on and on and on and on and on. No, I don't. I believe it's definitely figurative and not literalistic in the postmodern sense of what literalistic
means. Well, see, there's where our major difference is. I take all Scripture literally unless it clearly indicates otherwise.
But Catholic theologians even would say that. They take it literally, too. It's just what literally means now literally used to mean.
Yeah, but Catholic theologians, Catholic theologians believe in extra biblical revelation. I do not. I believe it's all done right here.
So everything we should know about the Christian life is distilled all and only in the Bible.
Absolutely.
The Bible does not teach that. You realize that.
Well, sure it does.
Jesus told the disciples, do not go to the Bible. Carry on the oral teachings that I have given you and the traditions that have been passed on to you. Do you realize that?
Well, you see, you keep bringing these things. You keep bringing these things up, but you don't have any. You don't have no proof of that.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
In the Bible. Yes, it is. You have closed it. You have closed your eyes.
No, I have mine.
The whole council. Yes, you have.
My eyes are wide open.
Yes, you have. No, yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to be a theologian to go to heaven.
Tradition, Dewey. You have closed your eyes to the whole council.
Oh no.
And you focus
no,
on
the whole. Listen, the whole council.
Platitudinal verses.
All right,
that
listen.
You use. And they're great verses.
Right.
I love them myself.
I got to.
I love them myself.
We got to go. We're out of time. And we're gonna leave it right there. I'm even gonna just let you have the last word. But listen, I want you to call back now, and I need some proof because you don't have it. All you got's tradition and denominational nonsense.
Daddy-o, I got the proof. All right, I got the proof. But I don't have my Bible in front of me.
All right. Well, the next time you call, have your Bible in front of you because I have mine in front of me.
You need to look at the whole council. You make it too basic. You've reduced it.
I'm glad it's simple for me. I'm glad I'm gonna keep it that way as well. I'm not going into your realm by any stretch of the imagination.
Simple, yes. Simpletonian, no. All right?
Well,
Simpletonian, no. And I think you're Simpletonian.
All right, Jack. You have a good day, buddy.
If that's for your rural life, that's great.
All right.
Take care.
God bless you. Have a good day.
Okay. Well, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I like
very,
this fella. I really.
I do too.
We don't agree by any stretch of the imagination, but I like him.
But he also has to remember those of us that don't have a theological degree.
Right.
We don't. We're just common people, and so we interpret it what it says.
Yeah.
And you can bring in all these big words. I have no clue what they are. And
exactly.
A couple of texts I got on our line said the same thing. There's like, what is this and what is that?
Yeah.
So we're just bringing it back down to earth.
Well, let's see. I have to
and
keep
he
it that
agreed
way for
that it was the basics.
Yeah,
he agreed what you said was the basics.
Mm-hmm.
What more do I need? I mean, exactly. You know, that's the basics,
right?
And you learn as a Christian, and you grow in your faith.
Well, see, salvation, and this is where things get convoluted when you start getting into all of that theological jargon. But if salvation is not simple, then a lot of people are in trouble. See, but salvation is simple. How hard is it to understand that man's already reconciled,
mm-hmm.
and that when we plead with people, I beseech you to be reconciled to God. All I'm simply saying is, come where God is. You know, you believe what God is. Be satisfied with what God is satisfied.
Right.
And to go out here and to put all this other stuff in it to me is just it really messes things up.
Yeah, you just got to remember the common everyday person doesn't really know all that stuff. I don't have a degree I have a degree in accounting. I'm
we can go
to school on accounting if you want to. But you know what I'm saying? We're keeping it basic because that's basically what everybody.
Well, that's what salvation is.
Right.
And of course, my focus is on salvation. You know, so and I want to keep it there, and I want
it's
it to
a good focus,
and we want to make sure that people understand the truth. See, you can understand all these theological stuff, and mm-hmm. I don't want to be too critical, but you can understand all the stuff and still miss heaven, still miss salvation. There's a lot of religious people, and I've seen religious people come to know Christ over the years who realized that it wasn't a religious activity or theological perspectives. It was simply trusting Christ as your Savior, being satisfied with what God is satisfied with. Well, it's been a good day. It's been an active, good call. Appreciate the Jack calling, and I trust you'll call again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
The views and beliefs in the previous program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.